Has made their way in. Thank you for coming today. I trust that God will make you welcome here through the support, the love, the fellowship, the handshakes of His people, because truly you are welcome here. This is His house. It's set apart, sanctified for the work of Christ and for the evangelizing of the world through missions and outreach. And bless God, something about being saved and being a part of the local assembly. And I'm glad, bless God, that I can do it right here at Calvary Baptist Church. I don't even know what I'm over there for, but anyway, it's good to be here today. It surely is. I'm just excited. Now, I get to preach for the Pope tonight. I'm excited about that too. I'm telling you, the only thing better would be if them nun sisters show up. There's a time or two Brother Stephen Pope was preaching, and then Savannah and those nun girls would show up, and then you'd have the nuns a-singing and the Pope a-preaching. I don't know if it gets any better now, but be in prayer for us. I know some have asked about the service. It starts at 6 o'clock down there tonight, 545 prayer room. If you don't know where it's at, go down Highway 115, hang a left on Highway 115, hang a left on 901, and then you'll go over right. When you start into the little community of Union Grove, you'll turn right on Indian Hills Road, and the church is right there on the left. You can't miss it. It's from here to there. I don't know. How long does it take y'all to get home? 30 minutes? It's probably about 40 minutes, I guess. But anyway, come be with us if you can. If you can't, just simply get away and pray. I want to preach this morning on a simple thought, and I believe I've shared it with us before, but God said do it again. We're going to do it again. Folks, I'm afraid in this latter day of modern everything, man, look, it's frigid outside. The temperature's cold and the winds are boisterous and blowing. And we come in here, man, we're just as snug as a bug in a rug. We're comfy. And I'm afraid that even as we have gotten comfortable in here, Brother Woody was all over it in our Sunday school lesson. Brother Woody, I'm afraid that we got comfortable in here, not just temperature-wise. And we're satisfied with the size of the crowd. We're full every service. And I mean, we just got self-satisfied. And when you get self-satisfied, you'll be like the man in the book of Isaiah, where it said the carpenter, he built a tree and he did everything. He made the altar and he did this and everything was put in place. And then the Bible said he feedeth on ashes. In other words, he started eating the leftovers. He started eating what was the waste. And I'm afraid as it is here, as we get into this passage of scripture, you're going to see a Gentile woman meet Jesus. And this little discourse comes about crumbs and dogs. Do you realize in a biblical sense that we, being Gentiles, you say, I know Gentile, you're not a Jew, or there might be some Jews in here, but I don't know that. But if you weren't a Jew, you were considered a Gentile. And if you were considered a Gentile, then you were looked at as what? A dog. So I'm afraid, Brother Tim, sometimes we just got satisfied feasting on the crumbs. And I want something fresh from God Almighty. I want a holy anointing. I want it full and free. I want what God wants us to have. And I don't want to be satisfied. I made this statement Wednesday night, and I'm going to make it again. Let's be very careful. When God blesses us, to give Him credit for the blessing. When God comes by and He just satisfies our every need and our desires of our heart are even met. It's not just our need. My friends, we're blessed above our need. We're almost to the full. I mean, you know it, I know it. We're all filled up with God's glory and His blessing. But let's be real careful that when somebody tells us how good our church is, or how good of a person you are, or how good of a pastor I am, or how good of a message that was, Brother Joe, we got to let that roll off like water off a duck's back. And we can't start to believe that, because there's a danger in believing how great we are. We'll get to that point where we are self-satisfied. I'm not satisfied with crumbs. And I hope that you won't be. Let's read our scripture this morning. It is in the book of Matthew, chapter number 15. And like I said, visitors, you are welcome here. I look around, I see a lot of visitors. And it sure is good to see you here. I trust God's going to do something for each and every one of us. I'll pick up our reading in this scripture today in Matthew chapter number 15 in the 21st verse. And we'll read down through verse number 28 with the Lord as my helper. And I'm going to ask Troy, if you will, go back there to that refrigerator and get me a bottle of water. If you don't know where it's at, just look around. You'll find a refrigerator. The Bible says, then Jesus went thence in verse number 21 and departed from the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And that's a true statement. The Lord hasn't breached a promise. He hasn't gone back on his word. He's not contradicting himself. He was sent to the house of Israel. He came to his own, but what happened? His own received him not. He was the builder's stone that was rejected. He was the one that was the hope of the consolation of Israel, but they rejected him. They were the natural branch where it cut off, but we were the wild olive branch. We're the wild one that got grafted in. Thank you, Troy. And then it said, I am not sent to the lost house, unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. My goodness, what a scripture. Brother John, she may ask God to bless our scripture and help us. Amen. Even as you're being seated, and I kind of capped that song off just a little bit there. When we've done all we can and we don't know what else to do, we better remember that God is still good. My friends, we are self-satisfied, and we've got satisfied living with less when God wants to bless us with more. And you're saying, wait a minute, you're going to preach one of those prosperity messages. No, I'm just saying that we have not because we ask not. We come in here and we get to that point of contentedness, and that's what we are. We're just content. You said what the Apostle Paul said, that in whatever state you're in, you ought to be there with content therein. We're not talking about being content with the monetary gain or the things we've got. I don't want us to get satisfied today with the blessings that God has given us. This lady here, she could have been very well content by saying, well, that's the way my daughter is, and she's got a devil in her, and I don't know anything to do with her. I'm just going to have to just leave that thing alone. No, she wasn't satisfied in knowing that her daughter had to stay in that condition because she didn't have to stay in that condition. But we get satisfied. We would just assume to drink water from polluted wells rather than redig the well. The Bible said that Isaac redug the wells of his forefathers. Why? Because he didn't want to drink the dirt. He didn't want to drink from the polluted well. But I think in the latter day, we're satisfied. And when we get to that point of satisfaction, Brother Chris, we'll stop knocking on doors. You say, well, where are we going to put them if we go out? And let's just say, Brother Chris, that we loaded up the vans and we went out and started knocking on doors and we had a promise that 50 people were going to show up tomorrow. You say, where in the world are we going to put them? We'll deal with that problem when they come, Brother Calvin. But we shouldn't stop knocking on doors simply because of the fact that we're running out of room in here. I mean, Brother John, we've got satisfied on everything, but this little Gentile lady, she was not satisfied that my daughter's filled with a demon. I'm just going to let her stay that way. You wouldn't do that to your daughter, would you, Brother Woody? I sure wouldn't leave my daughter in a sick condition. I'd want her to get help. And if I wanted her to get help, I bless God, if it was a demonic spirit or if it was something else, Brother Tim, I know where to go get help. And this lady had heard of Jesus. And my friends today, if I could just inquire to heaven on anybody's behalf today, I'd say, do you know about Jesus this morning? And I asked God to help you. My number one prayer in the circle back there this morning was that God, I might be merciful unto some sinner today and save you. And whether you know it or not, if you're not saved, you've got a devil living in you, and that demonic spirit will end up taking you to a devil's hell. This lady, she runs straight to Jesus, and she wasn't satisfied. But I'm afraid sometimes we do get these things in our mind that everything's just going to go like it is. And you've heard about karma. I don't know karma. I don't know her by first name or last name. Everybody says karma's going to come back to get them. Bless God, I believe God. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. And I believe, these people say, well, I believe it'll come back on them. It might come back on them. You say, well, how can that happen? I don't know how it happens, but God has a way of doing that. Right where this, it's good to see you, Liam. I used to go by a man by the name of Delaney Spicer. When I was at Center Baptist Church, as a little bitty boy, I was probably 4 or 5. And then as I got on up, I rubbed Delaney's head, Brother Tim, because that thing was slick as a peeled onion. And now look at me. I got people rubbing my head. Now, I'm not saying things won't come back on you. You say, what is that? It's the scripture that says that if you sow, you will reap. If you sow the wind, you'll reap the whirlwind. But that ain't all about karma. What I'm saying is this. There's a God in heaven that has appointed unto Tim certain things in Tim's life. And Tim, if you want to walk therein, you want the manifold blessing of God, the Bible even says there's some things that accompany salvation. You can have that. You can have peace and joy. You can have joy unspeakable and full of glory. You can live in that moment. You can bask in the sunshine of God's love, or you can say, not me. I'd rather just go down this rough road over here. You walk on your rough road, Brother John. I choose rather to hit the high spots. I know it's in the valley that we grow, but don't you like being on the mountaintop? Do we not like mountaintop experiences? Boy, I sure do. Nobody wants to contend with sickness all the time or these troubles all the time. Let's go right back into our scripture really quick. I'm going to be like Chris this morning. I'm not going to keep you long. We're hard on Chris around here, but you know why we're hard on you, Chris? Because you make it so easy, because it's all true. Chris says, I'm just going to be short today. Got about a 10-minute message. But in our text today, we see this Gentile woman. She got a daughter that's filled with a devil. Parents, don't give up on your children. Don't give up on them. It'd be very easy to say, well, I prayed for 20 years for my husband. I prayed for 20 years for my children. I've been praying for 30 years for my spouse. So what do? Just quit? Marlene, do you just quit? Do you stop praying that he's ever going to hear from heaven? Do you stop praying that God will ever get his attention? No, you don't. And Brother Jerry, you don't never know when God might just show up and do something for you. And I know some of you make it so easy for me to use you in a parable. You make it so easy for me to use you in an illustration because I've seen the road that you took. And I know how rough that road may have been, but Brother Woody, God has a way of getting our attention. He has a way of awakening us to the things of God and turning us against the things of Satan. So don't stop praying. Don't give up just because you haven't heard from heaven yet. As the song said, when you've done all you can and you don't understand, God's still good. And I can show you that. The Bible said, I'm just going to mind God today. The Bible said there was a little lady that had just a little bit of meal and just a little bit of oil. Now, you say, well, what was all about? She said that whenever the man of God had left the brook Cherith and he had gone there, that God had already went aforetime, Brother Tam. Now, to me, if I've got just a little bit of meal, just a little bit of oil, and I make this statement, I have not a cake. I have just a little meal and a little oil, and I'm going to bake a cake, and then my son and I are going to die. That's what she said. But, nevertheless, what was that all about? But the man of God said, you bake me a cake first. And she said, all right, if that's the way it's going to be. Let me tell you, we sang the song, little as much if God is in it. Miss Jenny, little as much if God's in it. All we've got to do is trust in that little. We just got to trust in that little. How many drops of blood did it take to save you or cleanse you? Just a little. Brother Woody, aren't you glad you're saved? How much did it cost? It cost him everything. It cost you very little. Just getting to the bottom of self. We're going right back in here. Jump right in with me. In verse number 21, the Bible said, then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Now this is actually an intercessory prayer from a Gentile lady that does not yet know Jesus. But she's got a hope in him that he can touch her daughter. Now, I want you to understand something. This woman's got a strong problem. She's got a strong dilemma, if you will. She's got something going on, Brother Tam, that she knows she can't satisfy. She can't fix that. So where do you go when you've got a problem? Where do you go when your wife passes away? Where do you go when your husband passes away? Where do you go when your daughter gets sick or this happens? Where do you go whenever Brian gets sick and yet faces another surgery? Bless God, you better be going to the Lord Jesus Christ. You better be going to the only source of hope that you've got. And I can tell you, it seems like we get there the long way around. It seems like we try everything our own way. And then, Brother Tam, we that are already saved, you know what we say? I can't do nothing for you, but I can pray for you. Why did we diminish the power of Almighty God through our prayer? That's the greatest thing you could do. But we'll say, well, I can't do nothing but pray for you. Bless God, then pray, because that's the greatest thing you could do. This little lady here's got a problem. It's just like the lady with the issue of blood that had an issue. This lady's got a problem. Is that right or wrong? Jen, you ever had any problems? Above 20 years ago when you were diagnosed with cancer, was that not a problem? Amen, that it surely was. Others in here have faced your own dilemmas. You faced your own problem. Brother Tim, God's sure seen us through them. I look at you guys around here and I see a miracle in every pew. I do, Brother Stephen. I see a miracle in every one of us. It's a miracle of salvation. It's a miracle of healing. It's a miracle of a touch of God on your life beyond anything that doctors or human logic could even comprehend. You ain't supposed to have children. You ain't supposed to be here. You're supposed to be in a grave. Brother Woody, you got lymphoma, buddy. I hate to tell you that. I'm telling you, my friends, we're all walking upright miracles of Almighty God. When are you going to realize that? Brendan, honey, I look at you. There's not a deacon. We just had a deacon's meeting. There's not a deacon's meeting goes by that one of these men doesn't say, boy, I sure miss Brother Earl. And there you are living that life in the confines of that same home. Every mug you pick up, every toothbrush you see, every picture on the wall, it has to remind you of that long and deep love that you had. But God is still good. God's still right there in the midst of that. And you trust and you rest in that because that's what you've got to rest in. And the hope of reconciliation. Have a reunion day one of these days, honey. Amen. So this woman's dilemma, she wanted to get some help for her daughter. But look what happened whenever she comes running to Jesus. She comes in and she says, oh Lord, thou son of David, my daughter's grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. You, what are you going to do when you don't hear? You're just going, well, he shut me out. I'll just forget it. The Bible said he answered her not a word, but that wasn't the only story. It wasn't that he didn't readily answer her, but whenever he didn't readily answer her, you know what happens beyond that? Do you realize what happens when you don't quickly hear from heaven? You'll hear from somebody else. Hey, these weren't demoniac people. The Bible said these were his disciples. Is that not what it says, Brother Tam? That his disciples came and besought him saying, let's send her away. Let me tell you, the devil does not want you to have any comfort. The devil does not want you to have any peace. The devil, but I'm telling you, sometimes it'll come by your own countrymen. Sometimes it'll come across the pew. Sometimes it'll come from the pulpit. I don't mean to hurt anybody. I don't mean to cause any kind of discomfort. I don't mean to hurt you whenever I bring up Brother Earl. I just don't mean to do that. I'm trying to help you realize that God is still good in the midst of all this. Don't be satisfied with just crumbs whenever you can have the whole. Just don't be satisfied with the little whenever we can have the whole. But here it is. Whenever he doesn't readily answer you. Marlene, when you kept praying for Brother Jerry, didn't fully understand, you didn't just quit praying. But how many times would people, it's useless. How many times would people say it's useless concerning you or me? How many times do they think there's no hope in that youngin? I mean, I've seen that stock. Ain't nothing good ever come out of that ridge. That's what they would say. That's what they say about all of us. Is there any good that ever come out of there or anybody? I'm telling you, that's a rough family right there. He won't mount to a hill of beans. I'm glad that God didn't give up on me. You might give up on me. The deacons might give up on me, but God will never give up on me. These disciples said, let's just send her away. Look what happens beyond that. It said, the disciple, verse number 23, but the disciples came, besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. Verse number 24, but he answered and said, I am not sent but to the house, a lost sheep of the house of Israel. She heard that, and she came and she worshiped him. Is that not amazing, Brother Chris, that a Gentile lady be worshiping the King of the Jews? And look what right below that, what happens, what takes place in this. It said, then came she and worshiped him, but he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's meat and to cast it into the dogs, she said. And look at that. Does your Bibles have the word truth capitalized there? Does anybody's besides mine have a capital T on truth? We read through these words sometimes. We don't even stop and pause. I believe that's for emphasis' sake. Because the Bible said, Brother Tam, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. She comes to the truth. And if you're going to get help, if you're going to get any kind of help at all, you better, I want true help. I don't want something. I don't want a placebo. Don't give me something help. Give me something that's real, that's really going to help me. And then I'm going to trust in that. Don't give me something fake. Give me the real thing. Well, she went to the real deal. She went to Jesus Christ and said, truth, Lord. He's saying, wait a minute here. You're a Gentile. And she said, I know that, truth, Lord. But you can help me. You've got the answer. You are my help. Truth, Lord. But if there's any help to come, it's going to have to come by you, Lord. And that's what she's saying. She's not asking for herself. She's asking for that of her daughter. And whenever she says, truth, Lord, look right below that. It says, truth, Lord. And then, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. And I want you to see that Jesus saw that. He heard her and he honored her decision to come to him. My friend, God will honor your decision. When you get to the bottom of yourself and you can't do it yourself, Brother Chris, you struggle in your own weight. You struggle in your own dilemma. You struggle in your own problem. And then you go to him. Brother Tim, he'll honor that decision to come to him. Because look what he says to her whenever she says, truth, Lord. And then she hears that retort back to her. Oh, woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Now, look what it says in that last part of that. Her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Did her prayer, did her persistency of prayer, did her, I guess, determination, did that not affect somebody else? It surely did, because her daughter was whole. If you quit right now, Brother Tim, I can assure you somebody else is going to be affected. If I quit right now, somebody else is going to be affected. Your determination, my determination, Tim, your faith, my faith, it's going to affect a lot of people. You said, show me how. It affected her. It affected her son, her daughter, in that she got saved. You said, but what about it, preacher? Does our reputation, Brother Chris, we were talking about that, proceed? You're representing, precede your reputation, precede yourself. And it does. How so, preacher? Everybody in knows here, this beautiful woman's my wife, right? For the visitors that don't know, this is my wife. I've been married to her for almost 31 years. But if I step out on my wife, I leave my wife, I cheat on my wife, and Brother Scott, that word gets out, the pastor of Calvary has cheated on his wife. He's left his wife. He's remarried another. You don't think that that's going to affect anybody else? Brother Tam is going to put a question around the ministry of this church for the last 10 years at least. And through those 50-plus churches that I've served in revival services and preached these many messages, Brother Tam, everybody that ever come under the anointing of God's preaching through me, they're going to say, what? Really? Now, I'm not saying that they would never be saved. They're saved by God, not by me. But Brother Greg, they would say, I thought they was the real deal. I thought he was true. I thought he was faithful. Now, let me tell you, Eli, this woman was faithful. Because when she comes, Brother Grant, with that utmost determination, and the decision was made, I'm going to him. Listen, I've got a great dilemma in my life, but I'm not going to satisfy that she's going to have to be that way forever. Keep praying, and then go to the right source. Look what happens. Her daughter was healed. You can be made whole. You can be made whole off of his prayer. I preached a message not long ago here about intercessory prayer. Brother John, I need people interceding on my behalf. Brother Danny, you ever been to the point where you couldn't pray? I know you have, because I've been there praying for you. Brother Woody, you ever been where you to the point you can't pray? You have. I have too. Well, this demoniac girl's not going to pray, Brother John. Is it in the scriptures that a demoniac girl could talk straight to God? I don't find it. I don't find where anybody that's demoniac can talk to God except that they're asking for forgiveness for the demonic condition. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Let me tell you real quickly, the Lord is my master. He's my redeemer. He is my hope, my consolation. He's my everything. And Brother Tim, I would be satisfied with just a crumb from his table if that's the only thing I was given. But I'm telling you, Brother Tim, we don't have to be satisfied with crumbs. We don't have. I remember I preached a message along these same lines. And it was you, Eli, several years ago. And you said, I don't want just the crumbs. Do you remember that? What did you say? Do you remember what you said? I asked you, I said, Eli, are you satisfied with crumbs? I was actually preaching down at the Life Center when we were remodeling here. How many years ago has that been? 6 or 8 years ago? Eli, do you remember what you said? You said, I want the whole piece of cake. I still remember that. I was talking about, are you satisfied with crumbs? And you said, I want the whole piece of cake. I'd rather have the whole piece of cake. Wouldn't you? If I grilled you up a steak, do you just want the drippings? You want the whole deal. Folks, you can have it all. I can have it all. But that all is found only in Jesus Christ. Macy, come over to the piano. I'm going to ask you real quickly. Are you satisfied with crumbs? Are you just simply satisfied with crumbs? Have you got a problem? Have you got a dilemma? Preacher, I can't get over this hump. I'm down. I can't get over this hump. There's people in here today that have told me, preacher, I can't pray. I understand that. I've not been there in a long time to where I could not get a prayer through, but I have been there. I have. There's people here today that says, preacher, you don't know what I've gone through. Maybe I don't, but I know one that does. I might not know everything you're going through, but I know one that knows what you're going through. Is the Bible true, Brother Tim? Does it say that I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, and I will go with thee even unto the end of the world? Does he? Amen. Now, if that's a true statement, then that means that you're never alone. You're never alone. Now, Sam can walk and leave and go out and go down to Walmart, but you're not alone. This little dear lady could walk and go away, but I'm not alone. I could pass away right now from a massive heart attack, but she won't be alone. But I'm telling you, there was one, and whenever he was on the cross, this is where we're going to finish this message out tonight, or today, Tam, he felt alone. Why? Brother Greg, if the three persons of the Trinity, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, were ever separated, it was on the cross. You said, where was that at? Well, he was at the baptism of Jordan. We see the Son being baptized. We see the Spirit come and reside on him. Stayed with him for that 3.5 years of his ministry. But on the cross, he makes out 7 distinct statements from the cross. One of those was this: Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? What was that? God the Father had turned his face on his Son. Why? Because he's not going to look on the sin that he had took upon himself. And then he says these words. He says, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. The Holy Spirit of God goes back to God the Father. That Son has been hanging on that cross as the God-man alone. But thanks be unto God, he didn't stay dead. And he didn't stay in the tomb. And I'm glad that on the day of Pentecost, that same Holy Spirit that he sent back to God the Father came back to be with us. And he abides with us still to this day. He's living in me. He's living in you. He's there to intercede with groanings that cannot be uttered. We don't even know, Brother Tim, but there he is on our behalf, on our defense. But yet, Brother John, we walk around just eating on crumbs. We're satisfied with crumbs. Brother Scott, what have you got?